Today, shooting the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Zayin. We continue to learn for the safety and success of the Chayalim. They should bring back the Chatufim. They should come back all healthy and safe. B'mheira, and B'ezras Hashem, there should be Shalom and all of Klal Yisrael. We pick up today at the two dots, about halfway down the Amud already, Yud Zayin Umud Aleph, four lines up from the start of the wider lines. And we begin with the statement from Omar Rabbi Ovin, Omar Rabbi Eloh, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Ovin said over the name of Rabbi Eloh, said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan the following halacha. Hoya chayiv l'chavei reshua. If Reuven, for example, is obligated to give a shvua to Shimon, the Amr, and he tells Shimon, Nishbati, I already swore. Now, the Ha'edim Me'edim, now witnesses come along and say, Ha'edim Me'edim also, Shalom Nishba. He said, no, he in fact did not swear. Mistam, it must be the situation where he said, I swore in such and such a time, and the Edim come along and say that in fact he did not make a shvua at that point in time, and therefore he is considered a liar. Now, we have the gears again, we spoke at yesterday, because of Yom Nishpati, some have this gears, some don't, so it doesn't really make that much of a difference, but the bottom line is, Huchzach Kafron, this person is considered at this point a Kafron, a liar, in regards to La'oso Shvua, and he is no longer believed in regard to that Shvua. As Rashi explains over here, Lomar Nishpati is not believed to say that I swore already, Achi Yishav B'fineinu, unless he makes a Shvua in front of us right now. So, the Gemara now says that this isn't 100% true across the board. Amruah Kameh de Rabbi Yavo, they said over this din that was said by Rabbi in the name of Eloi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in front of Rabbi Yavo, and he qualified it. And Amar Luhu, he told all the Tamidim, Mistabra Milsa, it makes sense to say that the Rabbi Oven, that statement that Rabbi Oven made in the name of Eloi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, is only true, Shinishayev Shvua, the Beis Din. Only if there was a Shvua in the Beis Din that he was obligated to make. In other words, Rashi explains, the Kivan since Edim came and said that you have to make this shvua, and he didn't want to, so eino neman lomar od kiyamti achrei kein. So he's not believed afterwards to say that I already swore. If he didn't swear in front of the Beis Din, he's not believed to say afterwards. That's a shvua that Beis Din obligated him to swear. However, avo chiev atzmo shvua, as Rashi explains, sh'amalo, he said, okay, I will swear, eshov aloch, v'tovu b'edim, v'lo ova. And then Edim came and he said, no, I'm not going to swear. I swore already. V'yachai kach omer nishpat, because he says afterwards that I already swore. So then he is Nemon. He is believed in that situation, Rabbi Avo said. V'afa gab, dekami Edim dochye, even though he pushed it off in front of the Edim who said that he didn't swear. Now, why is he believed in this situation? Namon. Avochiev asmo shvua, namon. Because the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yavo says, Ovid inish de mikre v'omar. Rashi explains that this means, lo ese mashol chivuni beisdin, and ani ba'atzmi. This person wasn't obligated by beisdin to make the shvua. He took upon himself to make the shvua. Ve'ein zu sarvanus v'charoto elu dechiev alma. And now if he says, no, I'm not going to swear in front of you, that's because he took it upon himself, and he says, I'm going to do it when I want to do it. And therefore, this doesn't mean that he's necessarily a liar. And in this situation, he is allowed to still make a shvua. So Rabbi Avo says he's qualifying that which Rabbi Ovin said. And now the Gemara says they went back to ask Rabbi Ovin, is this true? Adrua kameh de Rabbi Ovin to say, is what Rabbi Avo said correct? And Amalo, he told the Tamidim, yeah, I know, I also, Nami, the Beis Din Amri. I was only talking about a shvua that Beis Din had forced him to make and not a shvua that he swore on his own. Similarly, it manami was also said over Am Rabbi Ovin, Am Rabbi Lo, Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Ovin said, "Name Rabbi Lo, name Rabbi Yochanan." Hayachayv l'chavei reshua b'beis din. If you were obligated to make a shua b'beis din, the Amr nishpati, and then the person said, "I already swore." And Edim come along, the Edim even also shalom nishba. The Edim come along and say that he did not swear. They told him to swear, and he said, "No, I'm not swearing." So then, again, we have the question of the gears of the chaz of Yom Nishpati. Bottom line is, in that situation, but only in that situation, was the shua b'beis din. He is considered a liar. He's considered a kofar in regards to that shvua. So, again, we have aligned that which Rabbi Yovan said, which that which Rabbi Avoh had said. Now the Gemara says, Amar Ravasi, Amar Yochanan, Ravasi said the name of Yochanan, Hamotzei Shtar Chov B'Shuk. If you go and find a document that's an IOU in the middle of the marketplace, in the middle of the street, the cost of Bohempek, even though it is certified by Beis Din, that it is authorized that the loan actually took place, the cost of Bozmano Bobayom, and it has a date and a time on it, which is that very date and time that is today that you found it. In other words, this document was lost today. So the halacha, Rav Asi says, "Nei Rav Yochanan is yachziru lebalim." You are in this situation allowed to go and give it back to the balim. In other words, the one who lent the money, the IOU says that Ruvay lent Shimon money, and you find this document, so you're allowed to give it back on that very day to Ruvay, and he could go and collect with his document. Now, why? What is your concern that when we give it back to Reuven, that it's not a valid thing to give it back to Reuven? What are your concerns? Maybe you're concerned that this document was actually written up that Reuven lent Shimon the money, because Shimon wrote it up because he was expecting to get it and he wanted to have it all ready when Reuven would give him the money, but then he never actually went to Reuven to get the money, and then he lost the shtar. So Reuven never actually gave him the loan, and now Reuven's going to be giving back the shtar. He's going to go collect it. When he never gave the money, is that what you're concerned about? No. Hakos of Bohempek, there is an authorization, a certification by the Beis Din. They only would have written it, certified it, if they saw that the loan took place. So we don't have to be concerned that maybe the loan didn't take place because of the Hempek. Now, what are you concerned about? Imishon Piron. Well, still, if you're giving it back to Reuven, maybe Shimon paid him back and then lost the shtar. So maybe Reuven is going to double collect on it, which would be a sin, and of course would be terrible for Shimon. So how can we go give it back to Reuven? So Imishum Piron, if you're concerned that maybe Shimon paid it back and then he lost the shtar, and now you're going to give it back to Reuven, he's going to collect the second time, that we're not concerned about. Because Lefria Bas Yoma Lo Chayshina, we are in fact not at all concerned that he's going to go on the very day that he took out the loan, that he's going to pay it back. Shimon took the loan out, but somebody needs the money. He's not going to return that money that very same day. So since this IOU, this shtar, was found the very same day that it was written, Mistama, it was never paid back. We know that it took place because there's a henpeck on it, so it was a real loan. So therefore, we can give it back to Reuven without any concern that maybe it's been paid back. So clearly, we see that Rav Yochanan says that a loan is not paid back on the same day that it was taken out. The Gemara questions this and says, really? Amalei Rav Zeira Rav Asi. Rav Zeira says to Rav Asi, who's the one who said this din over the name of Rav Yochanan, he says, really? Mi amar Rav Yochanan hachi? Did Rav Yochanan say that a person never pays back a loan on the very day that he took it out? I'll show you that that's not true. Ha atu the amis mishmei de Rav Yochanan. You yourself said over the name of Rav Yochanan, shtar shalav abo ufro. If a document was used as an IOU, and then it was paid back. A regular document was written up, Reuven lent Shimon money, Shimon paid him back the money, and now the document is there. And Shimon says, listen, you know what? I'd like to borrow the money again. So you're not allowed to use that same document. Shtar Shalavabo Pro. This document, which had been used for a loan, had been paid back, you cannot use it again. Instead of ripping it up and writing a new one, say, let's keep the same one and save ourselves the scribe's fee. You're not allowed to do that. Ain't no chose of a lobo. You're not allowed to use it a second time. Why is that? Shekvar nimchal shibudo. Because the original shibud, the original lien from that document, has been removed. As Rashi says, mishipara milva rishona. When this first loan was paid back, and now it's being used for a second loan, but it wasn't written for that second loan, and therefore the second loan is in fact Bahavila Milva Alpeh. The second loan is an oral loan. There is no shtar accompanying it. The Toref Lukuchos Shalo Kedin. And then if they would use this document to go collect from lien property, they wouldn't be allowed to, because a Milva Alpeh doesn't collect from lien properties. They Milva Alpeh go them in Alukuchos. So therefore, if you would use this document a second time, it wouldn't be correct. And therefore, you're not allowed to use this document because there's a potential. And now when it's being used, the second loan, it's not really a document for that second loan, yet he may be able to use that incorrectly, inappropriately, and take liened property. So therefore, you shouldn't use such a document, and therefore, ain't a chose of a lovabo, you shouldn't use it to substantiate this second loan, shekvar nimchal shibud, because the shibud in it doesn't take effect. And if you then use it for the milva alpeh, you'd be incorrectly using this to collect from lien property. So clearly, what do you see? What is this case talking about? Amos, when did this second loan occur? If it occurs on a different day than the day it was written. So a week or two went by, any amount of time went by from when the first loan was given, and then it was paid back, and now he wants to use that same document again. So nobody would let you use it for that. My ear, Shekvar Nimchal Shibuda. Why are you telling me that's because the Shibud on it has been used up, so to say, and now it's a Milval Peh? That's not the real reason why you can't use it. You should say, Tebuk Leh, the reason why you can't use it is the Havaleh Muktam. It's now a Shtar Muktam, because the loan is only taking effect 2 weeks later, and it's dated 2 weeks earlier. So that means all that period of time in between is not allowed to be collected up from lien property. If you use this document, it's a shtar muktam, and it's trickery. And what did the rabbi say about that? utnam. We learned in a Mishnah that, in fact, in Shvius it tells us shestari chov hamukdamim psulim. Any shtar chov that is written predated, the rabbis made a knas. Not only is it not good to collect from lien property, but they made a knas. You can't even collect from bnei chorin. So therefore, obviously, if it's a shtari chov hamukdamim psulim, that's no good. So therefore, it mustn't be talking in this case el lav biyome. So it's not a shtar mukdam. And nevertheless, Alma, what do you see? Pare in shebiyome. The case was that it was paid back, and now he wants to use it a second time. So clearly, you see that a person does pay back the loan on the very same day. How can you tell us that it's impossible for a person to pay back the loan on the same day if we don't have to be concerned that it's paid back? So Rav Asi says back to Rezera, that's not what I said. Amalei says, Mi kamina, who said that I said, the lo pari klal, that it's never paid back on the same day? Look at my words carefully. I said, the lo shchiche, it's not at all common, it's not regular. The lo shchiche inshel de pari biyome kamina. I said that it's probably not paid back that day. When I said the priya basyom lo cheshino, we're not concerned. That's because the vast majority of the time, it's not going to be paid back on the same day. Yes, sometimes it could happen. And therefore, in that situation, we say the shibud has been removed and you can't use it. However, that's very, very, very unlikely. And therefore, the two statements that I made are not inconsistent with each other. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, to say why Rav Yochanan allowed this shtar that you found on the same day that it was lost to be returned. So Rav Kahan Omar, because Kishechayev Moda, we're dealing over here where the person who the IOU is against said, Shimon, who the IOU is written against him, said, yeah, it's a valid IOU. I, in fact, borrowed the money from Reuven. This is a valid document. So Gemara says, Yochi, if everybody admits it's a valid document, so my remember, so what do you need Rav Yochanan to come to tell me that you're allowed to return it to Reuven? Well, Shimon says it belongs to Reuven, so why would you think you can't return it to Reuven? So Gemara says, interesting idea. I might have thought, hi, Mifra Pari. In fact, Shimon had paid it off. Lo Prati, huh? Why did he say, I did not pay it back? You know what? He wants to save himself the scribe's fee. Mishum de kabay nedar lemizva be zimno achriti. He wants to borrow another $100 from this guy. So yes, he in fact paid it back, but he wants to go and borrow another $100 from Reuven. And he wants to save himself ulipshite de safro chayish. He wants to save himself the fee for writing up the loan. So it costs him $10 to write this document up. He says, I got a great document over here. Why do I have to write a new one up? I'll reuse this document. So he says, oh yeah, it hasn't been paid back. Really, it was. But he trusts Reuven. Reuven knows he paid it back. So he's going to have Reuven have it and say, Reuven, now lend me another $100 with this document. So the Chiddush of Rav Yochanan is, Kamash v'lo, no. Reuven is not going to be able to do that. That's why you can go and give it back to him. We're not concerned about this. Because the Kain, if in fact this loan had already been paid back and they're trying to save themselves the scribe's fee, no. Mal give gufe lo shavak. The Malva Reuven is not going to let Shimon reuse this document so Shimon saves $10. Because if the rabbis find out that this was a reused document, they're going to take the document away entirely. And they're not going to let him collect not only from Nechosin Mishubadim, but they won't let him collect from Nechosin B'nei Chorin. And that's what the Gemara says. The Imkein, Malva Gufe Lo Shavak, the Malva Reuven won't let this happen. Because Sover, he's going to say, Shamei Be Rabbanan, the rabbi is going to hear about this, that we use this document a second time when the Shibud is gone from it, and it could lead to a takala of collecting from Mishubadim. So the rabbi is going to make a knas and say, you can't even collect from B'nei Chore, and Umav Sadi Li, and I'm going to lose on it. So that's why the rabbis said you can go return it to Reuven, because there's no way Reuven will let it be used the second time on that very same day, because it is a shtar that has lost its shibud power. So Gemara says, Maishnah mehodat nan. But wait a second. If this is true, so we learned in the Mishnah earlier, a few days ago, on Daf Yud Beis, we learned over there that Motzor Shtari Chov, if you find the Shtar Chov in the street, Im Yesh Banachrayis Nilchasim, we said Lo Yachzir, if it has a achrayis written into it, that it can be collected from leaned property, this IOU, if the person doesn't have it, let's say Shimon, who borrowed the money, doesn't have the money, then you can go into his lien property, the properties that he sold to Levi, and go and collect from them. So therefore, lo yachzer. That's why if you find this document, you can't go give it back to Reuven, who lent the money to Shimon, because maybe, in fact, it was collected, and now he'd be able to go and collect the lien property. Vukimna, and we said, this is true even kishachayev moda. This is true even if Shimon said it's a valid document. Why? Umishum shema kosav lilvos benisav lilov atisha. Because you can't use it to collect from lien property because maybe the note was actually written in Nisan, but the loan actually only took place in Tishrei. And therefore, you're going to go collect all that property in between Nisan and Tishrei. That is lien property that technically should not have been able to be collected from. So therefore, the rabbi said, in this situation where there's achrayis, don't give it back. Now, we said don't give it back because of this reason, because asin litra lekuchos minisa v'yatishrei shaloki din. But we didn't say v'lo minan, the im kain, we should be concerned, malva gufi lo shavi, that the malva himself wouldn't have allowed this document to be used the second time, because he would say, so shtar achrina b'tishrei, go write a new document in Tishrei, because the dilma shami rabbanon umasadili. Because the rabbis will hear about it, that you tried to collect inappropriately with this document, and they'll tear it up. And they'll say, I can't even collect from Bnei Chorin. Now, why in that situation do we not give this answer? If your answer is correct, we should have given it over there as well. So the Gemara says, no. Amrei, the two cases are totally different. Why is that? In the Mishnah Hasam that we just brought down, you know why he didn't speak up? Because Mishum de Islei Revacha, he's getting a tremendous benefit. He's now able to go collect from lien property all the way from Nisan until Tishrei. That's a 6-month period of time that he's able to collect from lien property that he's not entitled to. The Kotarv Lekuchos Minisa V'Yatishrei incorrectly. So therefore, he's going to say, you know what, well, maybe the rabbis won't find out about it, but this way I'll be willing to do this because I'll gain on it. So Meinach Nichalei, since he's benefiting tremendously from it, V'lo Melamidi, he doesn't say anything, and he'll reuse the document again. And therefore, that's why we can't give it back over there, and we didn't give this teretz. But in our case, it's the same day. Hacha, it's the exact same day. Kivan the Lesley Revacha, he gains nothing from using it the second time. So then, just to save the other guy the $10 scribe fee, the sov shtaro ha'idduk sib, it's the same thing from him. He can't collect from anything that he wouldn't have collected from previously. He's not gaining 6 months worth of collection. He's collecting the same exact thing. So there's no way he's going to take a chance that the rabbis will find out about it and take away his ability to collect it all. So therefore, he's not gaining anything, and there's no way he would falsely say that this was a good shtar, because he is potentially putting himself entirely at risk with no benefit whatsoever. Mark continues and says, in another case learned in the name of Yochanan, goes as follows. Rav Chiya bar Abba said, Hatoein achar maise beis din. If somebody goes and claims something about an act of beis din, Rashi explains, for example, Dover Shu Tanai Basin. This is a Tanai Basin, such as Basin declared that this item is owed. Kigon Ksuva, such as a Ksuva, Umazon Isha, or the fact that the woman is supported after the husband's death, or Vahabanos, or her daughters are supported after the death. Hatoen Vama Parati, in any of these Maisa based in obligations, and the person says, I've already paid it, Shlobe Edim, if he did it not in front of Edim, it doesn't count. Lo Omar Klum, and I'll have to go and swear in front of Edim. So Hatoen Acher Maisa based in, we turn to Yud Zayin with Beis, Lo Omar Klum. It's as if he said nothing. My time, why? Because Kol Maisa based in, Kiman Denokit Shtora B'yodei Domi. Because if it's something that based in ordered and decreed, we view it as if there's a shtar over there, and therefore the person isn't believed just to go and say, parati, that I paid it back, if there's a shtar there. And a maisa beis din is like, keman denokit shtar b'yodeh, as if there is a shtar in his hand. So this is what Rav Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Yochanan. Amalei Rav Chiya bar Abba of Yochanan. After he said this over the name of Yochanan, he himself asked his Rebbe, below Mishnah Sein Hizu, why is the Rebbe teaching us something that's beferish in the Mishnah? Amorayim, they only say over new things. If they're quoting a Mishnah, they'll quote the Mishnah, but they won't make it as if they're saying it in their own name. And here, it seemed that Rav Yochanan was saying it in his own name. But isn't there a Mishnah? There's a Mishnah in Ksubos that we learned on Daf Peches Omid Beis, Hotziyo Get. If a woman goes and has a get, the Einim Oksuba, but she doesn't have her Ksuba there, so can she collect or not the mount of the Ksuba? So the Mishnah in Ksuba said, yes, go vek Ksuba. So she is entitled to go collect the full Ksuba, even though her husband already claims that he paid it off. She, by having the get in her hand, is allowed to go and collect her Ksuba. Now, that is telling us the same thing. It's a Maisei Beis Din. He's screaming all day long, parati, but we don't believe him because it's a Maisei Beis Din. So what is Rav Yochanan telling us? Kol Maisei Beis Din, shtar biyadei dame, it's like there's a shtar in his hand. So that's a Beferish Mishnah. Why is an Amora, Rav Yochanan, as great as he is, telling us a Beferish Mishnah? So Rav Yochanan says back to Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Lei, Ilav de deloy loch chaspa, if it wasn't for the fact that I picked up this shard for you, lo mishkachas marginisa tusa, you never would have found this pearl that was lying underneath it. In other words, my saying my din allowed you to understand this Mishnah and to generalize it. Otherwise, you would have said it was only specifically for the Mishnah. Tosas explains this lashon, ilav deloy loch chaspa, if it wasn't for the fact that I picked up this shard of pottery, you never would have found this pearl underneath it, this very expensive gem underneath it. So Tosa says, v'chiderech limtso margolios taches charsa, is it normal to find a pearl, a very expensive gem underneath a piece of pottery? So Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam explained that it's talking about in the water. That bekarkoyis hayam, at the bottom of the sea, where the pearl divers go to get these pearls, this marginisa, so avonim rechavos, there are these stones over there, these flat, wide stones, the niros kicharsim, and they look like shards of pottery. The tachteim nimtzon margolios, and underneath them are the pearls underneath those. And the Gemara in Hachovel and Bava Kama says, there's a play on Oz Yoshi where it says, Salu Kaoferis, but Mayim Adirim. So this is like clear waters, Va'alias Beyodcho Cheris. And there's clear water over there, and you picked up this piece of Cheris. So this is an idea over here that if it wasn't for the fact that I showed you this din, you never would have known it. So Rav Yochanan wasn't just teaching us a din stam, he was showing us that you can make a binyanav, so to say, you can make a generalization from this specific din in the Mishnah by ksuba, that the woman brings out a get, and even though she doesn't have a ksuba, she's able to collect a ksuba, so Rav Yochanan was able to learn that out as a general din. However, Abaye questions this and says, no, maybe it's only a din by ksuba, and in fact, Rav Yochanan is wrong to generalize it. Amar Abaye says, what are you telling me over here, my marginisa? What is this pearl that Rav Yochanan is saying to Rav Chiya bar Abba that I found for you? Who says that that's right? Dilma, maybe the Mishnah in ksubas that said that if you the woman brings forth a get, but there is no ksuba, that she can collect her ksuba, maybe that's Dilma b'makom she'en kosim ksuba askina. Maybe that Mishnah is only talking about in a shtot, in a place where they don't write ksubas. For whatever the reason, some places didn't have the custom to write a ksuba, but it was basically a tenai of the base. And when you got married, these were obligations. And the get, that's essentially the proof that this woman is owed the money of the ksuba. The get, hainu ksubasa. The fact that she shows a get means that unless the baal, the husband, the ex-husband, can show a receipt, so then this get being in her hands means that she hasn't been paid a ksuba. Because in those places they didn't write a ksuba. Avo b'makom shekosa ksuba, but in a place where the minhag was that they did write a ksuba, so then, in the kita ksuba, if she brings forth the ksuba, gavya, then she can collect the ksuba. But if she doesn't have a ksuba, ilo, she only has a get, lo gavya, she can't go and collect her ksuba. So maybe that Mishnah cannot be generalized, and Rav Yochanan is wrong. That's what Abaye first said, but then he retracted. Hodor of Abaye, afterwards Abaye retracted, and he said, lav nilsa hid yomri, that which I just said is incorrect. Because the isolka daitach, if in fact we're dealing here with makom she'en kosim ksuva askinan, that I was right in saying that it's talking about that mishnah only in a place where the minhag was not to write a ksuba, but the implication would be abba makom she'kosim ksuva in a place where they did write a ksuba. So then, if she has a ksuba, she collects. If she doesn't have a ksuba, she doesn't collect. Inikita ksuva gavya ilo lo gavya. If what I was saying was correct, so then almana min ha'erisin b'may gavya, then how would an almana who nebuch, her husband passed away after the first stage of marriage, the erisin stage, the kiddushin stage, but they never consummated the marriage and never had chuppah, but how would she ever go collect her ksuba? Because after all, she doesn't have a get in that situation, and if there's no ksuba written, how would she ever go and collect her ksuba? So you're going to tell me, the Edimis is a Baal because the witnesses will come and say the husband died. So then, let the Yarshim of the husband say, Lito v'lema pratia. So the Yarshim of the husband say, but he paid it back. He already paid her off the ksuba. Ah, there is no get over here. So therefore, you can't go and collect based upon the get. And you can tell me, in that situation, they are in fact believed to say that the woman has been paid off. So then, the rabbis will misak in the ksuba for an arusa. If the Yorushim, all they have to do is say that it was paid back, and there is, in a place that there is no ksuba written, so she doesn't have a ksuba, so then how would she ever collect it? What good is the rabbi's takana to say that an arusa should have a title to a ksuba? So therefore, Abai said, obviously I must be wrong, and that Mishnah is talking about whether it's a place where they wrote a ksuba, whether it's a place that they didn't write a ksuba, the woman is allowed to go and collect with her get, and therefore that can be generalized, any tanayim based in, even though the person says parati, they're not believed. Now, Abai's shaku v'tayi over here is based upon the assumption that an arusa is in fact entitled to a ksuba, that the rabbis were masakin that she should get a ksuba, and therefore in kei mahu ilu chachomim b'takonosan. More questions is, Amalei Mar Kishisha, the Rei of Rechitza Rav Ashi, Mar Kishisha said, who was the son of Rav Chitza, said to Rav Ashi, v'yalmona mina erisin, the isla ksuba minolan. How do we know that an almona from erisin, from the first stage of marriage, is in fact entitled to a ksuba? If you're going to tell me Ilema mehodit nan that this is a Mishnah in Ksubos that says Nis Armila onis garshu, if the woman Nebuch became a widow or Nebuch she was divorced, and whether it was the first stage of marriage that she was divorced or widow from, or even a full-fledged marriage where she was divorced or widow from, gova esakol. It says there that she's entitled to collect the entire ksuba obligation, including the base ksuba plus tosefes ksuba, anything that her husband added on. You're going to tell me that's the source for an arusa to have a ksuba? No, maybe Dilma hechel de kosavla. That's only because they wrote it down. But if the husband, in fact, did not choose to write it down, so then who says that an arusa is entitled to a ksuba? And Abaye's whole retraction should fall apart. You're going to tell me, v'chitema my lememer, what are you going to say, that liafuke midirebi Elazar ben Azariah, that this Mishnah there is coming to go against the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? What did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? The Amar, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, shelo kasav lo el amnas l'konsa. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, even if she has a ksuba, when a person gives an arusa, a ksuba, it's with the understanding that this ksuba will take effect when they consummate the marriage, when there is the full-fledged chuppah and nisuin. But the implication of that is, even though he wrote her a ksuba, that if the chuppah never takes effect, so then she's not entitled to a ksuba. So that's why you have this Mishnah in Kesubos to go against this sheet of Elazar ben Azariah. And that's why you need it. It's Tzri Chalei. The Mishnah there is coming to teach us this din. So in fact, we see that an arusa who has written a ksuba to her does have a ksuba. But if it doesn't have a ksuba written to her, maybe she doesn't have a ksuba automatically. And I'll show you that this is right, because Daika Nami, look at the words, Diktoni, it says, Gova es hakol, she collects everything. Now, Iyarmis Bishloma, the cause of law, if you're telling me that it was written down, so we understand, Hainu Diktoni, Gova es hakol, she gets everything that is written down in the ksuba, the base ksuba, the mona messiah, as well as all the tosefes ksuba that the husband wrote for her. However, El Iyarm is the low cause of law, but if nothing was written down, we turn to Yuchesim and Aleph, so then what do the words mean? My govas akol. Manu umesayim hu diisla. She only is entitled to what the rabbis were mesakin, that she gets either a mana if she's an almana. That's where we get the word almana. Almana, she gets a mana. Or if she was a basula, she gets masayim. But there is no tosefes ksuba. So what does it mean, this lashon of my govas akol? So therefore, it must be that it's written down. That's the diuk. And therefore, sakasha on Abaye is still... So it says, no, here is the source. Ella miditani Rabbi Chiya Barami. It's not that Mishnah in Kesubos that's the source for Abaye's din that an arus is entitled to a base ksuba, even if it's not written down, but it's from miditani Rabbi Chiya Barami, that which Rabbi Chiya Barami taught the following brisa. The brisa says, we're dealing here with either the husband or the wife dying, and we're dealing here with only a first stage of marriage. So, Ishto Arusa, if the man was only married, the first stage of marriage, his wife is an Arusa to him, and Rachmana Litzlan, she dies, so Lo Onen, the husband, isn't having the dinim of Aninus for his wife. And if he's a Kohen, Velo Mitame Lo. If, in fact, he is a Kohen, he's only allowed to be Mitame to the seven relatives, which is a parent, mother, father, a child, Rachmana Litzlan, a son or a daughter, a brother or a sister who's not married, and his spouse. But the spouse has to be a full-fledged spouse who had nisuim with him, and not a arusa. So therefore, as a Kohen, there is no din of aninus, or any person, there would be no din of aninus. An onan has certain restrictions upon him. For example, and not allowed to do any of the mitzvahs I say, so he's not allowed to learn Torah, he's not allowed to go and make brachos, go to daven, etc. So there is no din of aninus on this person. He's mechuyev to daven, he's mechuyev to learn, etc. And if he's a kohen, he's not allowed to be metame to his wife. A kohen's not allowed to be metame to somebody. There's an issur of tumas meis for a kohen, except for the zayin krovim. And even though this is his wife, it's not a full-fledged wife, so therefore he doesn't have the dinim of being metame to her. And vice versa, rachmon etzlan, if this husband died, so the wife who's only in arusa, she doesn't have the dinim of aninus for him, and v'lo mitama law. Now, there is no din. I mentioned many times already that there are three mitzvahs lo saseh that apply only to men and not to women. Otherwise, all the lo saseh apply to women as well. Two of them are with the payas, but here, the third one is with tumas meis for a kohen. It only applies to a kohen, but it doesn't apply to a bas kohen. So this din that she'd be awesome to become tamei, well, she's allowed to become tamei to whoever she wants. So what would be the problem if she became tamei to this husband? So Rashi explains over here that we're dealing with that she's not zikuka l'tamei lo. She's not obligated to become tamei to him. V'lo mitamei lo means that she's not mechuyeves to become tamei to him. Now, May saw if she were to pass away as an arusa to him, Eino Yoshi, he's not entitled to go and inherit her. Her father and her side of the family would inherit her. May so, if he does in fact die, Gova Ksubasa. Here is the raya that an arusa is entitled to Ksuba, because this Brisa says she is entitled to go and collect her Ksuba. Where it says, who says? Maybe it's only Dilma the cause of law. Maybe it's only because the husband wrote her Ksuba that she's entitled to collect it. However, if he doesn't write her Ksuba, who says that an Arusa is automatically entitled to Ksuba? I, V'chitema, the cause of law, my lemeimra. And if you say that he wrote for a Ksuba, and what's the chiddush to say over here that Mace, who, Govik Subasa, it's a document. Of course he would have to, the Yosha would have to go and pay off this debt. So Gemara says, no, the chiddush is, Mace, if she dies in a Yosha, it's Richle. So for parallelism, it wrote the second part. But the real chiddush over here was Mace, if she dies, that the husband doesn't inherit her, but her father inherits her. And then, since it wrote Mace, so then it wrote Mace, who, Govik Subasa. But it's obvious because it was a document that he wrote for her. But there's no proof from here that if he didn't write a document, then Arusa gets a Ksuba. So we're still stuck. Where did Abaye go and say that since an Arusa gets a Ksuba, so his proof fell apart? Ella, the Gemara says, Abaye migufe de masnisen kohadube. Abaye himself, he was retracting his statement based upon that Mishnah itself. That Mishnah Ksubas was talking about only a place where they did not write a Ksuba. So then, and in that situation, the get hainu ksubasa, and her get would be her ksuba. So then, ought to get manu masayim ksivbe. Does the get say anything about manu masayim? How do we know that the get is entitling her to go and get manu or masayim? So the rabbis were masaking that having the get is like a star that says mana or masayim, but she's a mana, it's a mana, and she's a sula, it's masayim, even though there's no ksuba written. So then liton vilema parati. So then when the husband says, I paid this off, then he should be believed. I If you said that you paid it off, then you should have gotten the get back and ripped it up. So Amalan, so this husband says, I did pay it back. However, lo shivakson, she didn't give it to me because she said, Amra beina liin suvebe. I need this as a proof that I'm a divorced woman. I can go marry somebody else. So I can't give it back to you. I need to show everybody that I'm a divorced woman. And that's why the husband didn't rip it up. And therefore, maybe he can be tining, in fact, that he did pay it back. Aye, why doesn't he have the get in his hand? Because the woman insisted on keeping it. Aye, v'chitema amrina lei. And you'll say that we tell the husband, you should have ripped it up, but right on the back of it, that this was a valid get, I ripped this get up, not because it's the possible get, because I paid her the money on Messiah, and I don't want to go collect it again, but it's a valid get. So why didn't he write that down? So the Gemara answers, because who said that he did this in front of a beis din? Who says this guy's a Talmud Chacham and knows this dinim? The wife said, no, I can't give you back the get. Thank you for giving me the ksuba money, but I can't give you back the get because I need to prove to everybody that I'm a divorced woman and I can remarry again. And he said, okay, fine. He didn't know the din was, I could go rip up the get and write on the back of it that it was a valid get and I ripped it up so she couldn't collect again. Artu called the Megabe, the Beidino Megabe. That does anybody goes and collects the Beidino Megabe that he automatically collects in a beis din? No, he was nice. nice guy. She was a nice lady. So he paid her the ksuba money, and she kept the get. But clearly you see from here that the Arusa is in fact entitled to a ksuba. And in fact, that's why Abai retracted, and he said that you can't learn out for that Mishnah ksuba, since it's only talking about in a place where they do have a ksuba. In fact, it would be talking about a place where they wrote a ksuba or didn't write a ksuba. And the whole point is that if it's a Tanai based in, the person isn't believed to say parati, exactly as Rav Yochanan said. This is a good break point. With this, we'll conclude today's shiur.